with Carol and Rose Goiter.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you what your website is, because I was just putting up the archives for the show that we were on September the 12th.
Absolutely. It's www.awakeradio.co.uk.
Awakeradio.co.uk. And also the name of the show? Is it just the Chrissy McMahon Show?
Yeah, it was in the evening, so yeah, we'll just say Chrissy McMahon with Vin Eastwood. It's fine by me.
So you don't actually have a name for the show?
Guerrilla Media. Well, I do. My show's Thursday morning, but I've been broadcasting Thursday nights and Sunday nights, so I don't know if all nights are my show. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was your show when we were on. Does it have an actual name, like the show itself?
Absolutely.
Everything's in flux, I think.
That would be...
Yeah. Alchemical Connections.
Alchemical Connections. Okay. I had an alcohol connection on the weekend. It was awesome.
Yes. Well, I don't drink, but I'm glad you had a good time.
I had a good time too. It was great. I was you know, it's funny when you're on a bit of a bender, you bump into a whole lot of people and you have a whole lot of different conversations, right? Or at least I do, because I'm a very socially outgoing guy. And I think I must have talked to 10 pretty hardcore, woken up, distracted, well, not distracted, conspiracy-minded people like myself that night, and I had some of the best conversations I've had on a bender for years. And what was interesting is that there were just so many of them. And one of the guys who was packing up the DJ equipment at the end of the party, going back to somebody's house, he's wearing a big all-seeing high Illuminati pyramid on his T-shirt. And I pointed it out to him and just go, "Oh my God, you're wearing the Illuminati symbol." He goes, "Look, if one more person tells me that, geez," and I was just like, you know, that's actually a really good sign. Somebody can't wear an Illuminati shirt without 100 people say, "Oh my God, he's wearing the size of the Illuminati."
I know, it's a great awakening.
I find that very encouraging.
It is. We're living in amazing times, Vinny. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if amazing is the word that I'd choose as well. Because at the moment, I'm on Facebook arguing with people about fluoride. You know, when you argue with people about fluoride, they don't know anything about fluoride. They don't know what it is. They don't know whether or not it's pharmaceutical grade. They don't know that it's an endocrine disruptor. They don't know that it robs electrons from your cells. They don't know anything. And so naturally, instead of actually coming up with anything, they have these sort of intellectual dragnet things like, oh, there's just too little of it to do something, you know, coffee's poisonous and so on and so forth. Well, do you make fluoride in your coffee? Well, then you're compounding the effects, motherfucker, you know? And at least you've got a choice about whether or not you drink coffee. You don't really have too much of a choice about what you bathe in, what you drink in, and what you wash your clothes in and what you cook your food in and so on and so forth. Do ya? And they're like, oh, but you could buy fluoride filters. Really? You go to a poor neighborhood and you tell them,
there
hey,
are no fluoride filters. These people are crazy. It has to be distilled or that osmosis process, but that's
it's a real pain in the ass. I mean, you need like a 2-micron thick filter to filter out fluoride, which is the same width that you need in order to filter out uranium. And it's like, bro, do you have any idea how expensive that stuff is? And they're like, oh, they're like $60 a year. $60 a year, my ass. A friend of mine had a whole house fluoride filter that cost him $14,000. It was so expensive that when he sold his house, he also sold the fluoride filter separately, so that he could, you know, have a bit of money to get the frack out of there, kind of thing. It was extraordinary.
Well, here, pre and post carbon filter and get a distiller and double distill. You can't, it's
how about
it's
this?
It works.
How about this? You use a strong wrist and you turn off the tap that puts the fluoride into the water.
Well, then you drink urine and you're in good position. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, maybe in your water supply, drinking urine is all just recycled stuff and what have you in the Uber Kingdom, isn't it? But in New Zealand, we've got things, you know, called rivers and lakes and so on and so forth, and rain that isn't chemtrail.
They have the same thing here, and they have the fracking now, and people's water supplies getting poisoned, and people don't believe that that's even happening because there's no proof. I mean, come on, you know, they shut the business down and nobody can drink the water. I mean, how much more proof do you want?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Are people stupid? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes. Yes, they are.
I wish it was that simple. It's got to be something else. There has to be some kind of a tractor beam on their brain.
And it's called public schooling.
All the good information.
It's called public schooling. It's called mainstream media never giving anybody any decent information for which they can make a decision in their freaking life that actually makes sense. You know, they've been robbed of their cognitive reasoning capacity. And I was just kind of theorizing about this on on Facebook earlier. In fact, this is the reason why one of the people got really pissed off with me. You know, I said that I wasn't anti-establishment. You know, because like, in order to be anti-establishment, there has to be something that's actually established, right? There's nothing actually established yet. Everything's like crumbling under its own weight, all being built at the same time. There's no such thing as an establishment, not so far. So I'm actually pro-establishment. I'd like to establish something that doesn't frickin' suck. And somebody says, ha ha ha, not anti-establishment, maybe just conspiracy theorist, Vinny. And I go, all right, well, conspiracy theorist is a person who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow their influence, okay? A coincidence theorist is a person who believes everything happens by sheer coincidence. Deception and backrooms deals do not exist. There's three words that I love. I don't know. There's three words that I hate. I don't care. And three words that are required for personal growth. I was wrong. And conspiracy theorists as a social group have all been lumped together. And I consider myself as a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe in things blindly without very compelling evidence. Conversely, even if I had evidence that caused me to believe something strongly, I would take contrary evidence on board and weigh them up. This is how I differentiate myself from the, quote, crazy conspiracy theorists, of which there are many, who have deep psychological problems and a lack of cognitive ability to discern truth from fiction. This is not a phenomenon confined to conspiracy theorists either. I've met so many mainstream people who are clearly insane, can't think, won't listen, or consider any evidence contrary to their own rigidly held, almost religious belief structures. And besides, we're not talking about conspiracy anyway. You know why? Because it's not a secret. All right? It's not a secret. In David Rockefeller's book Memoirs, he admits that he's part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's a direct quote from the book, page 405. For more than a... Let me see if I'm going to do a David Rockefeller voice. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we have and we wield over the American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and are conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. David Rockefeller.
Absolutely.
It's not a freaking conspiracy. They admit it, okay? Conspiracies
and
have to be secret.
The media for not exposing them for all those years as well.
Thank you, the media, for not repeating it 1,000 times over and over again. Little quotes like I just read to you right now. What they do repeat over and over again is there's a car crash over here, mass shooting over here, and a gun ban zone, by the way. If people had concealed carry, they probably would have shot the motherfucker before he could kill a whole bunch of people. But, you know, the whole...
Say that again. Three times. Carolyn, what do you think? He's a man after our own heart or what?
Oh, yeah. I know who Vinny is. Vinny's a great guy. I think he's got one of the sexiest voices on radio. I think he's. I like Rick's voice, but I tell you, whenever I hear anybody from New Zealand, I'm sliding off the chair.
That's that accent. I know. God.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I've got a girlfriend, though, but that's another story.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, for the first 3 years, I didn't refer to her as my girlfriend or even mention her by name, or just kind of referred to her in conversation as M apostrophe MRS. Mumusas.
I like that.
I love you.
What happened to you on Facebook? What was all this story we were hearing? There's something wrong with your Facebook page. What the heck happened?
Oh, yeah, it's gone, mate. It's dead. You know, I've been working on that puppy for like 6-7 years or something like that. I got an infinite amount of philosophical quotes, pictures, videos posted, and notes of works, and thousands of friends, admin on pages that have tens of thousands of likes, and so on and so forth, members of hundreds of groups and whatever. All gone. Because the name of the account was Guerrilla Media Mr. News. And they said that you can't use an account that doesn't have your real name. And I already had an account with my real name, which I'm using now, by default kind of thing. And they said that I could activate my other account if I use the same or similar name, except I can't use the same or similar name because they won't let me. And I've tried about 20 different combinations and they still won't let me. So it's a catch-22. They're like, yep, you can't use it with this name, but you can only reinstate it if you use this name, which we won't let you use. So you're fracked. Just such bastards. That's why I call him Fishbook.
Oh, Zuckerman's happy, though. He's getting a lot of money for the NSA.
Yeah, yeah. In Mexico, it's called the NSA.
Yeah.
I have
fracking
this,
NSA.
Yeah. They're all fracking us. And they're turning the world into Shiite Muslim. What can I say?
But hey, we decided for the last couple of weeks we've been talking, we're going to use their tool anyway. It's just like, hey, we don't like using the petroleum-based combustion engine, but we'll use that until we get our own out there. And in the meantime, we'll use Facebook to reach thousands of people worldwide and laugh our. They can laugh their way to their own fat banks, oil and oil banks, their banks, and we'll sit there and laugh and use their tool to reach people, wake them up, shake up some sheeple, and just, you know, use Facebook to reach and let everybody know we're all the same. We all want to get along. We all love what we have, our animals, our pets, our gardens, our homes, our whatever hobbies we got. Plus, we all want peace, so we're going to laugh at them and use their own tools.
Yes.
If they want to data mine, they want to data mine and take our pictures, we'll just smile.
Yeah. I mean, or just show them something scary, you know? I figure that's the thing you've got to do. If they're watching everything that you do, then do stuff that freaks them out. Hold a protest. Ambush some form of scumbaggery individual. Make posts that are really loving and caring and philosophical
citizens
or whatever.
Citizens arrest.
Yeah, let them know that we're all aware of what we're doing, whether it's in Brazil or Spain or Italy, Romania or Iceland. We're going to sit them up. No, we're going to sit there and let them know we know we outnumber them. I think we need to put a little bit of fear in them. You know, I like to see them a little nervous, you know, so I think it's kind of fun.
I don't know. Apparently, like, it's almost like what you're working towards. I remember this dude named Rick, he had me on his radio show, and he was like, he's always having fights and angry stuff like this, and it kind of derailed his radio show fighting these people in his own chat room, which he could have just blocked, you know. And as a result, he was losing all his friends who were telling him, bro, don't bother with those people, don't bother. So instead of actually dealing with his friends and working on his relationship with them, he was working on a relationship with a whole bunch of trolls. It derailed his own show. And I said, what's your priority, bro? Your enemies or your friends? And we all kind of
got into that. You were talking about, you know, your gorilla page. We've been talking. See, we're going to have more fun, too. We're going to have gorilla gardening. We're going to save all of our good weed seeds because you got to save them now because they're going to be GM. And, you know, we're going to make weed legal in the United States, and when they're done genetically modifying it, so we're telling everybody, save your seeds, and gorilla launch them everywhere. Plus, at the same time, save all your heritage tomato seeds, herb seeds, everything. And at the same time, you're saving them. We want to have everybody throw them in every creek, every brook, every stream. We're going to get the stuff out there, And when it comes to Monsanto, we're not only going to flood the world with healthy seeds, we're going to tell anybody, any of these rich people that are sitting around, sitting on their duffs and all, think they want to pretend that they care, we're going to say, fine, go buy Monsanto stock, because we're going to put the scare in them and we're going to start buying their company. So then we are going to produce what we want to produce, turn those scientists into people to solve the poisons they put out and make sure things like Roundup don't get distributed. And so we're going to sit there, and while they're busy thinking that they've got it made, like I said, we're just going to guerrilla. We're going to grill a garden. We're going to spread that. We're going to make sure that everybody knows this and start telling people about the healthy alternative to all this garbage prescription pills that are just all over the United States. So we're going to have
guerrilla Wi-Fi.
That's right. And guerrilla. Yeah, we're going to set up. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you remember that. I told them we're going to set up Wi-Fi everywhere. And everybody that's got the extra bucks, put out the extra gigabytes. So people that can't afford it got Wi-Fi, because libraries are closing all over America, and you have to have a picture ID to get in them. They're closed on weekends. They're closed at night for all those crazy people that are up all night. We can't get into them. We're going to open our own libraries. We're going to share books. We're going to put up some hempcrete domes that will be around the clock. You can go in and use them. And like I said, Wi-Fi, we're going to share it with people. And instead of throwing away the laptops and PCs, make them available in these kiosks for people. And it's like, long as they can't control the food, the fuel, the funding, and the info, hey, we're taking back our freedom, and they can go frack themselves.
Yeah, well, that's if it works, because, of course, these kind of actions are prone to counterattack by establishment scumbaggery.
Well, that's why I've been in exile from my house for 4 years. They've tried to do everything. So, hey, I've been in hotels. I'm in a borrowed trailer right now. Nobody's lived in for 4 years. We've got about a couple tons of buckets of sweat equity to make this livable. But hey, it's doable. I fought them in court. I beat them. They're scared to death when you bring up things like jury nullification. You demand using a jury. You get a, you know, one of these useless ABA lawyers maybe to do some of the paperwork. Then you go in there, you argue your own case, you kick their butt, and they get more and more scared as time goes by. Hey, Brett Roshan wants to say hi, too.
Oh, hey, Vinny. How's it going? Not sure if you remember or not, but yeah, I was on Type 1 Radio, I think, last time you were on.
Right. Oh, that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, out of Bristol.
It was. Not sure if you remember, we had the little incident with Pistachio John.
Pistachio John? Do they call him that because he's just a little bit nuts, but he's coming out of his shell?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember which. I think he said he was calling out of Michigan or something like that. He called saying there was some UFO flying around a pistachio field, and his aunt was wearing a Hitler uniform and shooting a shotgun or some crazy bullshit like that.
I remember this, and he said that there was an SUV full of agents or something outside his house, and I told him to go make them a cup of tea, and he goes, "Yeah, but there's like seven of them," and I go, "Okay, well, you're going to need a tray and several cups."
Yeah, and he kept screaming at his grandmother or mom or something.
Grandma, I don't do it. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I do recall that, and I think he called in like a few minutes after I talked about people who were completely insane conspiracy theorists who were just kind of like off the wall and have like fully lost their mind, and then this guy calls in. And we go, oh my God, can you illustrate a point better? You know, you can't make
it's
the Shiite Muslim up.
It
was hysterical.
And just when we were trying to get our aluminum hats all ready, this guy calls in, you know?
Yeah.
Instant manifestation.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say, hey, we got to get you back on Tech 1 here at some point.
All right, well, you know, I've got type 2 diabetes, so I should be on type 1 radio. It'll be awesome.
There you go.
I don't have type 2 diabetes, by the way.
You got to start cooking for it. You got to come over here and start having some organic food. We'll get rid of that type 2 everything.
I don't have it, bro. I was just making shit up.
Oh, had me worried. I was going to say, your picture looks too hot. You don't look like you got it, you know?
Yeah. You don't look sick.
I'm closer to having Warren Beatty than diabetes.
Hey, well, that could probably be arranged, you know?
If you say so.
There you go. So I'm glad at least you got your, you're still on Facebook, though they stole your radio page. Now, what, that's a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like also my profile and all of the other pages and everything that I set up, like the professional ones and what have you, you know, so I don't have access to them. So there's all those ones there, all those groups and stuff like that that have thousands of members, thousands of likes and so on and so forth that I now have absolutely no control over. And,
well,
and the funniest thing is you can't actually complain to Facebook about your account being blocked if your account hasn't been blocked. And my account hasn't been blocked. They just won't allow me to log in until I come up with a new name, which they won't let me have because it's not my name.
Well, maybe you can just call it the Frack and Vinny Eastwood Show.
To be honest... I'm getting like about 20 friend requests a day at this point because the other one wasn't in my name. It was Guerrilla Media Mr. News. And my personal one, like, oh. I renamed it from my full name, you know, Vincent Eastwood to just Vinny Eastwood. And all of a sudden there's heaps and heaps and heaps of people searching for me and adding me on. So I'll be back to square one reasonably soon, I hope. I've gone up from like 600 friends to like nearly 1,000 in a matter of less than a week, and I haven't added really anybody. Everybody's just been coming my way, man. So you know, it's like Obi-Wan said: "If you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine."
Well, if you get lonely, we're glad to be friends. We'll be your friend, Vinny.
Apparently,
you can't refuse.
Apparently, palm trees also need lots of fronds.
Lots of fronds, yeah. We need lots of fronds, yeah.
My frond from fronds.
Somebody give me a pint. I'm getting too sober here.
Yeah, sobriety's a bitch, isn't it?
Oh, it's tough. I tell you, I can't handle it. It makes me, drives me to drink every time I try.
I know. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, but it's okay. You know, what? There's always another beer to try.
Yeah, allegedly. Unless, yep. Of course, you're broke as and you can't afford it. Gonna like me.
No. Hey, that's why we're going to do Guerrilla Beer, too. We're going to be growing our own beer. We're going to be brewing our own beer, having our own lager, you know, have some Marzen, have some ale, and... But you guys always have it. It's driving me nuts. I cannot get the green can of Foster's. You cannot find a pint of what used to be the best beer, Foster's Bitters. It's they changed the name to ale because they didn't have the guts to tell people to drink bitters.
Why is it called bitters? Is it made by feminists or something?
Oh, no. It's not nothing whiny like that. This has got body to it. This isn't some wimpy beer. This is some good stuff. You've never had Foster's Bitters?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my God.
It's like an Australian beer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the blue can's good, but the green can of Foster's, my God. I mean, it's not quite as good as Sexton. It's not good as an Aerosolator, as Chrissy will find out soon enough. But
will it give me an erection?
It's Oh, yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I gave me one, and I don't even have a...
Okay.
Yeah, that'll get it.
She was talking about her shin bones, ladies and gentlemen. They suddenly became erect at the producing of the beer.
It was actually my big toe, you know.
Like, is that your big toe hovering, or are you just happy to see?
She's going
to
lose so many...
That's it.
Oh my God!
Probably just got off about five networks. Dumped us.
Shaziz just lost the Christian Coalition.
Oh, for God's sakes! Don't they know that Jesus made water into wine, not the other way around?
I don't think that's the problem. It's the sex talk, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we're not using the F word, so we're doing good. I think we're doing fine.
Hey, no. If God put us here and he said to go procreate and all the other stuff, I mean, you have to have sex to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But you can't talk about it. You can only do it. And it's supposed to be in private is the thing. So, yeah, I'm starting to think about this. It's probably a good idea. I don't know about you, but I've got a very dirty mind. In fact, I do know about you now. But
Sorry, I'm really sleepy. Go ahead.
Okay. And
I was thinking about this
openness, pardon the pun, of sexuality. I don't think it's really a good thing, actually. Sexual liberation and so on and so forth. I've just been kind of analysing this, you know, since the Rockefellers funded feminism and so on and so forth. You've got pornography everywhere for everybody to see. Divorce rates up to, 52-55% in the United States, and pretty similar rates all around the world. Illegitimate fathers among the black community is now, 80% or whatever. So I think that the liberation of sexuality and not keeping it secret, private, between a man and a woman, and maybe they can talk to their very closest friends about it. I don't think this has actually been a really positive phenomenon for humanity, because if we're too flippant and too open about it, it loses its meaning, and its real meaning is full-on love. And
I don't want to see, no offense, Vinny, but I don't want to see you having sex with anybody.
Well, you know. I wouldn't want to see me having sex with anybody while you're watching either.
Yeah, there you go. And I think there is more of an allure to having a thing where there is more mystery to it. But I don't think we have to hide the subject in the closet. But I mean, I got to admit, I think I like that nice little allure. I mean, if somebody wants to watch some softcore thing on the side there, that's their own thing in private. I don't necessarily want to be in a public park and have, you know, this couple over there and this couple over there, and, you know, they're all in various stages of going for it. I figure that should be done in private. I kind of agree with that. And you're right. I'm glad you mentioned, nobody ever wants to believe me when I tell them Gloria Steinem came out and admitted that she was funded by the CIA and that the CIA funded Ms. Magazine. Nobody wants to hear that. And nobody wants to hear
that. I think a lot of people understand that now. I think more of us realize that than did be in the past, but I think you both have a really strong point that
it even bothered me.
Yeah, it really bothered me when in about 2000 when I was in college and undergrad, and there was one student who was younger, like half my age. She thought that it would be really good if we could just drop the gender, not just stereotypes, but that people wouldn't look at males as males and having a certain way of existing, and females. And I couldn't understand that. I thought, well, what are we going to be, all automatons? I mean, what is that? But I really think I like the idea that men are men and women are women, and that we can have our feminine side and our masculine side, and expose that and you know, be open about that. I think that makes a whole person. But I couldn't get what she was talking about, that people would kind of be genderless, and that was kind of, it bothered me. And I thought, well, I don't want to live in a world like that where people are just kind of, they're male and female, but there's no distinction, and I think maybe what she was talking about was more the thought process, the stereotypes, the biases, and all that other stuff that kind of keep us separate.
Yeah.
So I understand that today, and I think sex is a beautiful thing, and I don't like the objectification of women, but I see more and more women are doing that. Yeah. But on the same token, male abuse is becoming more prevalent than men abusing women.
Yeah, what's it called? The suicide rate for men in New Zealand is massive. They're actually, if you are an adult male, you're more likely to kill yourself than anybody else. And we've got the world's highest teenage suicide rate as well. There's a number of reasons for this, but the family court was modeled on the old-style eugenics courts of the early 30s, and after 1945, eugenics became a bad word for some reason. So they changed their names to family courts or family planning and so on and so forth, so that they could just continue to, you know, kidnap people's kids and frack the lives of parents up and try to socially engineer families according with their eugenicist pseudoscience dogma. And it's institutionalized now in New Zealand. If you're if you got your kids taken off you and you're a woman, you get unlimited legal aid money for a lawyer. So the government pays for your lawyer to get your own kids back from the government. And then
what?
If you're a man, on the other hand, you get no legal aid whatsoever. So men can't get their kids
back. How's that fair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's same with grief counselling as well. A man can't get more than 6 sessions for free, whereas a woman can have unlimited. Because apparently if a man has 6 grief counselling sessions because he's really upset that the government stole his kids who he really loves hugely and he did nothing wrong, he should you know, he should be okay after 6 sessions and should just shut the frack up and get the frack out of my office.
Well, maybe men aren't as sick as women. Maybe that's what they're trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're all just as sick as each other. We're all just sick in different ways. And we're sick in so many different ways that it really confuses just how really frickin' sick we really are.
Well, you know, you mentioned the suicide rate. A lot of that has to do with it, too, the pressure on kids these days. Because, let's face it, one, they have been dumbing down school. So kids aren't reading enough and getting a broader sense of what reality is and what values are. And, you know, what they're seeing on TV is they're now supposed to be, what was that gal that just did that one thing at some award thing where she did some sexy thing or whatever?
Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball. Or was it the stripper act? Yeah.
Well, and they got all these kids thinking they got to look like, you know, a sex pot when they're 6 years old. And even the cartoons are getting sexier now. And I got to admit, I actually get embarrassed with some of the shows, the sitcoms, if I got a kid in the room, when I think it's fine to have adult sitcoms. I love Britcoms. But I got to admit, some of the stuff that they have on in the afternoon or the repeats and stuff that the kids are seeing, I think a little bit the kids are getting so much pressure to think that, oh, well, I guess I'm supposed to be sexually active, whether they need to be or not, or mature enough or not, or and whatnot. And that always freaks me out that they kind of get into that too much, that these poor kids are just seeing this constantly. And it's like at such a young age that it's like, you know, it's got to confuse them. It has to, you know.
You're going to love what I'm about to tell you now then. My friend John Eisen from Uncensored Magazine does the probably the best conspiracy magazine in the country. Well, actually, the only conspiracy magazine really in the country at uncensored.co.nz. He did an issue, and in the front page, the issue had you know, schoolgirls with their little shoes on, you know, the little red strappy shoes kind of thing that you wear when you're really young. Just sort of like lined up, and it says the agenda to bring about a pedophile friendly world. Somebody complained about that magazine and got it taken off of the shelves in all of the supermarket chains in the whole country that it was being sold on. So to speak out against pedophilia gets you censored. What does that tell you?
Oh, well, yeah, she could tell you about that. She'll tell you about that.
Pedophilia got me exiled from my house. I actually, in St. Louis, and I'm still out of my house, fighting for my house. I got into it, Vinny, and it was amazing. I actually got into it because, like, long story short, I went to Roman Catholic schools. I was baptized Ukrainian Catholic in the Greek Rite, but the RC Church got rid of that, just like the Soviets got rid of the Ukrainians. But while I was investigating, like, two of my friends in grade school, just their lives had gone downhill. Well, both the guys separately kind of confessed to me or admitted to me. It wasn't really a confession. It wasn't their fault. They were sitting there saying, well, what happened is they got molested by these priests, you know. And I thought, well, this is bullshit. It's still going on. So I started looking into this, and I played total investigative journalist. I even faked who I was. I went to these things, found out what they were doing was using these The kids' grade skill, you know, everybody got their, I don't know if they do it in New Zealand, but in America, and you get your picture taken every year, and you got the little book, and people pay for the book or whatever, and here you are in your little school book. Well, they were using them for menus, paging through this thing, looking for the little boys. And it was mostly boys, so it's even sicker. And so it's like they would say, oh, this boy, that boy. Well, then the kid would get an invitation mailed to their home saying, we want little Johnny or Joey or Mikey or whatever to be an altar boy or an attendant at this, either it was either a specifically church-oriented thing or a non-denominational, because it involved people of every other faith as well, these non-denominational things, very wealthy people, the same ones who donate to politicians, donate to the church folks. And these guys would sit there and pick these kids out. They would get an invite. Well, of course, the parents are like, wow, they get to go to this retreat for a weekend or a week with big shots from Monsanto or Anheuser-Busch or Emerson Electric in St. Louis, to use the example where I live. And it was like, of course, they have to go. They'll get in the right school. They'll network. They'll get to meet these people. They'll get in the right high school. All these things were going through the family's mind. Well, in the meantime, the kid goes to this thing, gets molested. Who's he going to tell? Heck, his rabbi, his priest, his minister might be there. And it's like, who are you going to, and that might be another guy molesting him. And if they go home, some of the parents are like, well, just shut up, don't tell anything, or else the kid's too ashamed. And I found out that when they did tell the local police, the St. Louis County Police, or the local media, and I can name names, pretty big names, they never got on the news. It never got picked up. And then I started doing the research that, and it was the same thing in Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Boston. The same kind of garbage was going on in Ireland and Germany. Well, when I was getting this done in St. Louis, and I turned over some information to one of the lawyers who was going to go after the church, next thing you know, Vinny, I'm getting death threats. I was actually threatened to be excommunicated from the church. I didn't even get to tell you that, Kristen, which I didn't care. I didn't go to that box church anyway. Except it's just somebody's funeral. That's the only time I'll go to it.
You'd be like, really? Really? I can't go into a church full of pedophile scum anymore because I exposed you as pedophile scum? Oh, gee. I guess you dodged that bullet.
Well, I sent a thank you card. But after that, it was like, I really am out of my house. I mean, it was a couple other things. I got into how the hidden subsidiary, Bayer Pharmaceutical, got our water company. And I got into municipal ordinance creep and the trash company being sold to the mob. I mean, I kind of went for everybody. So I decided to, do the perfect storm of getting yourself kicked out of your house and threatened with your life. But as far as the child sex slavery thing in America, and it's tied to, what was going on to the Native Canadians, what happened to the Native Americans. I think you probably know Kevin Annette that looked into all that stuff in Canada. Came out in Ireland and Germany's gone after it. Of course, we had Pope Ratzi there who was in charge of making sure that, hey, if there was a kid that hadn't been molested, he was more than glad to put him on the list, it's just crazy. And, I don't know if you've got into this at all, which really freaked me out. Prescott Bush, the scumbag, the whole Bush family is one of them that should have, if you could go back in time, somebody please eliminate the Bush family. When you go back and find, Samuel Bush was just as bad. And then you got Prescott trying to, get Smedley Butler to bump off FDR and take over. Well, he actually, to cover his fanny, created the USO. And I, as a kid, used to sit there and watch Bob Hope glued to the thing every Christmas going, oh, boy, Bob Hope's on. And we would watch USO. My dad loved USO when he was drafted into World War II, and then he served in Korea. But then you find out the USO was using all these starlets to, feign and, basically blackmail all these American officers and foreign officers and all the politicians and all these countries we were invading. And you sit there and you think, oh my gosh, isn't any of this stuff sacred at all? It just blows you away.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and also what happens is I've interviewed a number of people who investigate this kind of thing, and even if you don't even go through the abuse, even if you don't go through the trauma of exposing these scumbags or anything like that, just investigating it, just knowing that it's going on, actually makes people get really despondent, depressed. They develop mental problems and things like that because it's so traumatic. It's very difficult for a sane person to process, kind of thing, and they wind up going to a whole lot of counseling sessions and so on and so forth. So yeah, man, it's freaking huge. I have some good news on this note. A friend of mine, Philippa Cunningham, she had her child taken away at the age of 10. She's now 14. We protested outside of Child, Youth and Family Services offices, who are the CPS of New Zealand. And she got, for the first time, a call from her daughter just the other week. And they're going to be able to see each other again. And something tells me that we had something to do with that. Because we were talking about their pedophile agenda. We were talking about how they've got a quota. Like, they need X amount of white kids, X amount of Asian kids, X amount of Māori and Pacific Island kids, and so on and so forth. It's all about the money. Because just like in CPS, for example, they get state-appropriated funds for each child that they confiscate off of their parents. Ergo, there's actually a monetary reason why a worker might try to take your kids off you. It's because they get a bonus and they get a bigger budget and so on and so forth. Doesn't that strike you as disgustingly despicable?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, you said it'd drive you crazy. Luckily, I'm half crazy already anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. It actually probably balanced you out.
Yeah. Not much to lose left. I've had 9 concussions. What brains?
9 concussions.
Yeah. I've been in, what was it, 6 total cars. I walked away from them all, so I guess, I don't know, something's either trying to kill me or something's trying to keep me alive. I don't know which.
I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Yeah. Fracking A, I'm still here.
Miraculous survival.
Yes.
Whereas some people have never been in a car accident in their life, and they have one, you know, little fender bender, and they get freaked out and stuff like that. So, like, oh, bro, you know, there's a hell of a lot more serious stuff going on.
Exactly. Hey, I figured I haven't been in a foxhole yet. Life's been easy.
Yeah, pretty much. I think these last couple of generations since World War II have been, everybody's had it pretty freaking easy, really. You know, think about it. 50s.
Well, unless you're a woman in Kabul or growing up in a Muslim tribe in Nigeria and you're, you know, stuff's about, somebody's going to start snipping your stuff off. You know, a few people have had it rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Western world anyway, I mean, it's been pretty easy. We've had cheap oil, we've had social welfare benefits and so on and so forth. But eventually that's all been kind of cut down and eroded until now we're starting to get into the point where it's like we're kind of almost going to be in depression era pretty soon if we're not already, in terms of hard times, unemployment and the wafting scumbaggery that comes out of the White House. And I do think that what a lot of people don't realize is that every generation has its own little challenges, and we ain't had ours yet. I think it's freaking coming, and you better be prepared for it.
Oh, you mean the White House? You mean the home of the two-party crime syndicate?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we weren't sure. And you're right. There's some, and you're right. I mean, versus some of the other things. I mean, I used to think that, too. I mean, I'm a little older than you guys, I think. I'm as old as dirt. And my parents actually lived through the so-called Great Depression, and my father lived through World War II, and he went got called back in for Korea, and he was there on D-Day and stuff. So, I mean, you listen to what the greatest generation went through, then there was like 2 or 3 generations that people didn't realize how lucky they had it. But we were lucky, but that's why the elite went nuts trying to break things up and to deliberately dumb down things like, you know, Charlotte Isabee has tried to show, and Anthony Sutton tried to tell warn people about. That they were deliberately trying to dumb people down. And, you know, and like you said, Rockefeller, I love that quote that you had. I saw it on your page, too, that it's just like they don't hide it at all. I mean, you know, 1984 was practically a blueprint for what we have now, the Brave New World. I mean, these guys knew what they're planning on doing. But it's like, you know, they saw that, you know, hey, we can't have the greatest generation that all of a sudden we're demanding to have rights and to vote and to have free time and vacations. It's like, oh no, we gotta take care of that. Ship the jobs to someplace for a couple pennies a day, and, you know, make America just into a service economy where nobody can get a job, that you don't have to work 60 hours a week to pay for your rent. And people are foolish enough not to object to all this stuff, and that's part of the problem, is that we just got people now. And I don't know if it's the same in New Zealand, Vinny, but we can't get people to vote. We can't get people to take jury duty. They sit on their hands, and then they say, oh, things are up. It's like, Well, get off your butt and get involved, for pity's sakes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that the problems are
same in New Zealand?
The problems are too large for anybody to take a back seat anymore. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, you know how I said earlier how I went out on a bit of a bender and met a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists. You know how many of them are actually doing anything with this knowledge? None of them. You know, they know the world's fracked. They know that this is going on, but they still go to their job. They still do this, that, and the other. And you know, the problem is that job ain't going to be there. Your kids, your home, your car, everything that you're currently working for, everything that you're not going out being active because you're afraid and you want to protect what you currently still have, it ain't going to frickin' be there. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of my realization when the big oil cano in the Gulf of Mexico happened, and then Fukushima. It's just like, oh my God, This world's so freaking dead. And it just sort of like revitalized me and jazzercised me to a degree, you know, in the Richard Simmons sense of the word.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I like your tagline, the lighter side of genocide. not that we're trying to make fun of it, but I mean, it's, what else can you do? And you have to laugh to keep your spirits up so you can get up and do something again. You know, next day, get up and try again and do something.
Well, as the Terminator said,
the system to make more people aware.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said, Arnold Schwarzenegger said this in Terminator 3. He says, "Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death."
only the son of an ex-Nazi could come up with that kind of humor. You know?
Oh, he still wears his dad's he still wears his dad's skull and crossbones SS belt buckles to rallies sometimes.
Well, hey, he played the game. He knew what to do, and he thinks whatever he did in his cult life got what he wanted. Look at it. He said that he wanted to marry a Kennedy, which was the U.S. royalty. He became a movie star. He became a governor, and he probably could have had a shot at president if they hadn't had that silly amendment in the way.
Yeah, see, it's ironic. It's ironic, isn't it? Because that amendment didn't stop Barack H. O. Barry Satoru.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course not.
So you know what they'll do?
I know, but yeah, see, that was okay because he was black. They pretended he was black, and they pretended he was liberal, and so those people didn't look into it because they didn't really care that his mother couldn't fly out of Kenya because she was pregnant, and his grandma over there said he was, you know, he was born there. But let's face it, they didn't care that the guy never held a job, and that as a congressman and a senator from Illinois, he never passed a single piece of legislation anybody can recall, and while he was a U.S. senator, nobody can even remember a single speech he gave on the floor or a single piece of legislation he even attached his name to. But by God, can he read a teleprompter? You know what I'm saying?
That man
can sit, you know, ooh. He is so well chipped.
He is the teleprompter so maestro.
I mean,
he is the Beethoven of teleprompter
reading. Here's a guy that was a CIA operative in Pakistan.
Yeah. Okay. Seem to have lost you there.